Thank you, ladies. Thank you, man. Let's go to Job 37 to find the book of Job right there before the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Down memory lane tonight to March 6th, 2005. So that's several years ago, and I want to bring a little lesson tonight from the life of Job. Much, much to be learned from his life, and of course, no stranger in his story. It is not strange to you if you read your Bible and you've been in church at all. And so we'll just rehearse again some lessons from Job's life tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. Job 37, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to have service tonight. Now help us as we look into your word. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your book tonight, things that will help us as we go through this life. In Christ's name and amen. Chapter 37 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth." That's encouraging, isn't it? Amen. It's coming, right? All right. "Be thou on the earth, and likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind." That's going on right now down in the Atlantic, down in the Gulf of Mexico and the west coast of Florida. It's a pretty serious storm down there, right? "And cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straightened." And I want to speak tonight on the subject, lessons from the frost. Now, you remember all that took place in Job's life at the very beginning of the book there in chapter 1 and 2. And after God allowed Satan to take everything that he had, he lost everything but his life and his wife. And three friends came to give their input concerning all of Job's situation: Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. And you know, if you read your Bible, that Bildad is the shortest man in the Bible. He's Bildad the Shuhite. Amen. So he's the smallest guy in the Bible. Shuhite. Well, after those three guys run their course, Elihu, a man named Elihu. If you look back at chapter 32, now hold your finger there in 37. We're going to look at two or three of these chapters here. Look at chapter 32, verse number 6. A man named Elihu begins to speak, okay? The Bible says there, 32:6, "And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion." And so he kept quiet while they're speaking, and let them talk because they were older than him. Pretty smart boy, really, young man, all right? But he couldn't contain himself, and so he begins to speak in chapter 32, verse 6, and his monologue continues all the way through the end of chapter 37, chapter 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. And after listening to those three men give their explanations for Job's trouble, hearing Job's responses, Elihu begins to speak. And by the way, he said this when he began to speak: "Days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom." And young men, young ladies, that's a great attitude to have. You know, get around people who've lived a little longer than you. You gain a lot just from living the experiences of life. And that's what he said. "Days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom." Now, look at chapter 33 and verse 12. 33 verse 12. He's still talking now. "Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? Listen to this. For he giveth not account of any of his matters." So this is really the basis, the foundation of Elihu's advice to Job. What he's saying is, Job, God knows you better than any human being living on earth knows you. And God's been working in your life through all these difficulties. And here you are, you're trying to get an explanation for all that's gone on in your life. And Elihu says, "Job, don't you understand that God is greater than all and does not have to give an account? He doesn't have to give an answer for anything that he does because he's God." That's why. And so that's what Elihu says to him. Then you get to chapter 37, and Elihu testifies, like we read tonight, about the mighty power of God that is seen in the weather and how the weather changes from season to season. So he basically says God sends the lightning and God sends the thunder and God sends the snow and he sends the small rain and he sends the great rain and he sends the tornadoes from the south and the cold from the north. And then he says in verse number 10 that we read a moment ago, by the breath of God, frost is given. So God sends the frost. Now one of these days, we're going to arise and the landscape, as we begin to look outside, the landscape is going to have a white look. And the temperature will have dropped during the night and the dew that had settled on the grass and sometimes even on the branches of the trees will have frozen and cars parked outside will have a small, you know, have a thin layer of ice on the windows and possibly even on the door handles and maybe even the mailbox. When you go to open the lid of the mailbox, it'll be covered over with that hoar frost, that thin layer of ice. It's called frost. And he says, Job, by the breath of God, the frost is given. And look what he said in verse 14. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and see, consider the wondrous works of God. So he said, Job, think about this. Take a look at the weather. Learn from the different weather that God sends, the different types of weather, the different magnitude of each storm. And consider that all of this is the work of God. And he's really referring to the weather and the changes in seasons that take place. These are wondrous works of God. Now look at verse number 23 in chapter 37, verse number 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. He said, look, as far as touching God, all that he does, we can't understand all of his doings. But here's what Elihu was saying to Job. Job, God sends people through seasons just like he sends the planet through seasons of weather. He sends people through seasons. Just like he sends the planet through seasons of weather. Job? Is this a season of frost in your life? Is this a season of frost? You know, God gives the warm winds of late spring and God gives the hot winds of summer and God gives the times of cool nights and warm days of fall, kind of what we're experiencing right now. And God gives the cold, sharp blasts from the north in the winter. And God also gives the frost, the thin layer of ice that covers everything and kills the blooms and hinders the production of fruit and flowers and vegetables. I remember when Brother Luke, Brother and Pete Cavanaugh, and myself, we flew down to Florida and we helped move Mom and Dad's stuff up here. Dad was already over here in the house, the Bickford house, and Mom had gone back to finish up things. And they had some of the men down there had loaded up the truck with my brother Tim, and we flew down. Pete and Luke drove the truck, and Mom and I came in the car. But the man that picked us up at the airport, Mr. Austin. And he is my nephew's wife's dad, okay? So Brittany's dad. And long generations of orchards, generations of owning orange orchards down there. And you've heard me talk before about the disease that's wiped out a lot of those orchards, the greening. And we got in the car, and I just happened to ask him, how's your business? How's the orchards? And they'd already sold several orchards. And he said, well, in fact, we just had our last orchard plowed under this past week, the last one. Now, a lot of those men sold those orchards to developers because housing in Florida is a premium. And they've made buku bucks selling that land and having it developed. And there's the problem with the greening. And I said, that's what I said, so the greening was too much. And he said, you know what, really the greening is a problem, but the bigger problem is the frost. He said, we're too close to the frost line here in Florida. And some years ago, we had a bad frost in the spring, and it killed everything, and we didn't get an orange off any of those trees. The frosts. That's what happens. You see people here who have gardens who plant them early in the spring, and there's a frost warning. And they take little flower pots and sometimes cut gallons of milk jugs and have, you know, but put something, they cover them with something to protect them from the frost. Now, there's not all bad with the frost. You know, really farmers like the frost, the cold temperatures in the winter because it kills the bugs. So they like a little bit of a deep freeze in the soil and some frost, some ice because it kills the insects. But Job, are you in a time of frost? Is it a season of frost in your life? And I wonder, you know, am I speaking to someone who is in a season of frost? I'm talking about right here in the room tonight. I mean, right now, the warm breezes of late spring and early summer are not blowing softly in your life. Everything seems to be kind of be frosted over. It's not frozen hard, just kind of frosted over with a thin layer of ice. And you know, your devotion time seems a little frosty, and even the time you spend at church, it's a little frosty, and maybe in your marriage, your family, your job, health, relationships with friends, maybe some or all of those just seem to be covered with a little thin layer of frost. It's necessary for us to understand that life has seasons. Life has seasons. And seasons come and go, and everybody goes through seasons. And depending on where somebody lives geographically, they may go through the extremes of seasonal changes. Others just, you know, kind of simple seasonal changes. But everybody lives where there is some change of season in the weather, and every child of God goes through seasonal changes in life. So are you in a season of frost? And if you are, there are some lessons to think on from this chapter right here, from the situation with Job that I think are noteworthy. First of all, I want you to notice the source of the frost. Notice the source of the frost in chapter 37, verse 10. By the breath of God, frost is given. So the frost is given by the breath of God. God gives the frost. You know, maybe we bring it on ourselves. Maybe we need to learn to appreciate the warm seasons more. Maybe God knows that we just need a season of frost. And he really doesn't have to answer for what he does because he's God. And so for whatever reason, God brings the season of frost into our life. And you know, during the season of frost, we're tempted to think that God is far from us. We start to wonder if God has turned on us. Has God left us alone? Has he removed his presence from us? But people, how close does someone have to be to us for us to be touched by their breath? Now you can hear my words, but there's nobody tonight touched by my breath. I hope I did brush my teeth, so hoping Brother Dan and I were praying down here, he wasn't offended by my breath. Okay, good. He says no. Amen. That's good. But you have to be pretty close to somebody to be touched by their breath. You remember when Jesus rose from the dead and in the Garden of Gethsemane, the garden of where he was buried there, where the garden tomb was, he told when Mary Magdalene evidently lunged to touch his feet, he said, "Touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father in heaven." And that later that same day, the same day at evening, when the disciples were gathered in the upper room for fear of the Jews, Jesus appeared in that meeting. And then the 8 days later, he told Thomas, "Touch me." Remember that? Remember when he was up there in the upper room the night of the resurrection? And those men were fearful. And the Bible says he breathed on them. He was that close. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And when Jesus breathed on them, the warm wind of the Holy Ghost indwelled their bodies. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful season of life for those men in that upper room. Jesus breathed on them. And they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But seasons change in life like they do on earth. And just because you're in a time of frost, it does not mean that God is far from you. You know, God was not far from Job. Now, Job couldn't feel it because earlier He had made that statement in chapter 23. I go forward in my life and God is not there. I go backward and I can't find the Almighty. I look on the left hand and I can't find him in the right hand, but he's not there. Job said, I did 360 degree circle in my life and I can't sense God anywhere, but God was close enough to Job to breathe on him. By the breath of God, the frost is given. We've all experienced, you know, the breath of someone close enough to us, and we understand immediately they have a bad case of halitosis, right? And Dan, I guess I avoided, you know, all kinds of breath fresheners are available. I got them right here in my pocket. I put them in my pocket every time I leave the office because I don't want to, you know, blow somebody over with onion breath. I remember Billy, evangelist Billy Canoy was eating at a, they had a big preacher's meeting somewhere, and I think it was North Carolina at one of those camp meetings, and they were eating in the mess hall, the dining hall, and there was a guy that was a little bit, you know, his cheese had fallen out of his sandwich. You understand what I'm saying? You know, he wasn't quite all there. He went up to Brother Billy Canoy, and Brother Canoy is just an old Southern boy, you know, kind of a, you'd probably call him a redneck. And he, this old boy was, you know, about half there, you know, and he got right down in Brother Canoy's face and, rah, 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 and started asking a question. And Brother Canoy said, son, son, get away from me. Good night. You got onion breath. And so I told him to get away. You've had maybe somebody get that close to you after eating onions or something. Didn't use any breath fresheners. The point I'm making tonight is you have to be fairly close to somebody for their breath to touch you. The Bible says, interesting, that God's hand is not shortened. His arm has a long reach, so God can reach a long ways out with his hand and touch us, but the frost does not come from the touch of his hand. The frost comes from his breath. In order for you to feel that, he's got to be pretty close. And sometimes his breath produces the warmth of his presence, and sometimes it produces frost. So you got to consider the source. If you're in a time of frost right now where it just seems like, man, everything's just kind of frozen over. Nothing really warms my heart. Music. Church services, devotions at home, sitting down talking to my spouse, just nothing really warms my heart. You know, a season of frost, understand the source of that frost. The source of that frost is the breath of God. The breath of God. Then number two, don't strive against God during the frost. Don't strive against God during the frost. Look at chapter 33 and verse 13. Chapter 33 and verse 13. We looked at this just a moment ago. I'll show it to you again. Why dost thou strive against him? So this is the, again, this is the basis of Elihu's advice. Elihu, hey. Job, hey. God does not answer to us. God is greater than man. He doesn't owe us an explanation for what he does. So why strive against what he is doing? Why strive against that? You know, what can we do? What can you and I do to stop the seasonal changes in the weather? You don't like snow? What are you going to do to keep it away this summer, this winter? Keep it summer, this winter. Run outside with a hair blower, you know, a hair dryer, you know. We can't change the weather. Do we run outside and shake our fist at the clouds, throw things at the wind? Stop! Try that down to Florida right now. That doesn't go very far. What do we do with the seasonal changes, folks? You know what we do? We accept them. We accept them. And we deal with them. Maybe we prepare for the cold or heat, or maybe we head to a safe place during the threat of a bad storm. We adapt. We sweat and mop our foreheads in the summer, and we bundle up with hats and coats and gloves in the winter. There's nothing we can do to change the weather, but deal with it. Why strive against it? You know, thankfully, God, as I've gotten older, and I guess maybe it just comes along with just, you know, I've learned to handle airport delays. I guess I did all right on our trip, didn't I? Well, except for Montreal, but that's a story in itself. But Montreal was necessary. I'll just say that, okay? And if you ever hear of story coming out of Montreal, it was my wife. It wasn't me, okay? So, yeah. But I used to get so frustrated at the airport with delays and weather. I remember Brother Vineyard. He would go fishing every summer with Russell Anderson for 2 weeks in Canada. And he did that all through his ministry. Even as assistant pastor, when he went to work for Brother Howes up in Hammond, he told Brother Howes, now I'll be gone 2 weeks in the summer with Brother Russell Anderson. And Jack Howes said, what you going to do? I'm going to go fishing in Canada. Jack Howes said, you're going to go fishing for 2 weeks, let everybody go to hell. He said, yep. So he would go fishing every summer up in Canada. And one year he invited me to bring the boys, and Dennis Coral was invited, and he preached a revival, a Vacation Bible School revival in the old auditorium. And after it was all over, we loaded up, went up there. But anyway, he was up in, so nothing interfered with his fishing trip. Well, he had a bad hip, and it got so bad at the fishing place up in Canada that he had to leave. And of course, they drove up there, so he had to fly home. And that's an old Green Beret boy. For his hip to be, it had to be hurt. He said it was killing him. I forget what all was wrong. And he got to Minneapolis, and it was chaos. Storms and canceled flights and postponed. And he's waiting in line, and there's this rather large fella in front of him. And the guy's in a crumpled suit, and he thinks he's important, you know. And he's bellowing at the person behind the desk there, you know. And Brother Vineyard said, my hip was hurting so bad, I almost passed out. He said, it was chaos. It was noise everywhere. He said, I tapped the man on the shoulder. And when he turned around, I whispered, if you don't be quiet, somebody's going to break your fingers. He said, the man looked at him, and turned around, grabbed his bag, went over there. Walked away, but you get it. Airports are crazy. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do to change the weather? We don't change it. We adapt to it. We deal with it. We don't act wild and crazy in response to weather. How come some of God's people respond to the frost by striving against God? It's not the time to get mad at God, folks. You know, in discouragement or anger, people strive against God. And so, you know, I'll show you, I won't have my devotions. Well, that really helps. I'll show you, I won't go to the church services. I'll become reclusive in my relationships. And some of God's people even try to flee the frost. You can't flee the frost. You might flee the frost of North America by moving to Hawaii. But you're not going to flee the frost that the breath of God puts in your life. Abraham tried that. And we're still dealing with the fallout of Abraham trying to flee the frost of a drought and went down to Egypt. They pick up a little Egyptian maid down there to help Sarah. And pretty soon here's Ishmael, and we're still dealing with it. Can't run from the frost. Here's Elimelech. Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. But guess what? There's frost in Bethlehem, Judah. Not literally, but there's a drought. And so there's no barley harvest. And so there's no bread. Come on, Naomi. Come on, Malan, Chilion. We're just going to go down to Moab. We're just going to sojourn there. Just a couple of weeks, get away from the frost. How'd that work? 10 years. By the time Naomi returns to Bethlehem, Judah, Elimelech is dead, Mahlon's dead, Chilion's dead, and she returns to Bethlehem, Judah. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. You know what happened? Elimelech tried to flee the frost. Can't flee the frost, folks. If God brings it into our life, we dare not let some frosty time turn us against God. Job had expressed the right attitude at the beginning of this season of frost, all the way back in chapter 1, when he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job did not overlook the seasons of warmth that God had graciously given him and then taken the approach of, you know, I deserve the warm seasons, but I don't deserve the frost. No, you know what Job said? I don't deserve the warm, soft winds of early summer, and I don't deserve the frost of early fall. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the, you know what I'm saying? I don't deserve one, but not the other. That's what he was saying. So are you in a time of frost? Remember where that frost comes from and do not strive against God. Deal with it. Accept it. What is God doing? What is he trying to teach us? What's he trying to work into our lives? He's not against us. It's from his breath. It's for a reason, for a purpose. Now, number three, I want to show you this. I want you to turn to Malachi because I want you to see this with your own eyes tonight. Turn to Malachi chapter 4, the last chapter of the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. Just read this the other day in my devotions. Malachi chapter 4. Here's the thing I want to say. I'll get to the verse in just a minute. The sun melts the frost. That's profound, isn't it? I had to study and think hard on that to get that point. Did you ever notice how quickly the frost melts when the rays of the sun hit it? You know, on an overcast day, on a cold day where the temperature stays below freezing and it's overcast, the gray clouds, the frost can stay a while. Right? We call it hoarfrost. Stays on the trees, stays on the mailboxes, stays on the car, stays on everything. But not when the sun's warm rays fall on it. The heat of those rays melts the frost. Do you know, I did look this up, do you know when the coldest part of the day is most of the time? Right before and as the sun begins to dawn over the horizon. Right before and as. We can see the rays of the sun as that sun begins to peek over the horizon there in the east. But those rays are not high enough to reach the earth, so it can feel colder. Temperature can actually drop, even though the sunlight can be seen, but it's not long before the thaw begins. Now, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. In your Bible, is the word son capitalized? Yes. But it's not spelled S-O-N. It's spelled S-U-N. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, about his coming, second coming, all the way to the earth, okay? And it is spelled with an uppercase S, a U, not an O. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Jesus is the sun, S-U-N, who will melt away the frost. So when the season of frost enters your life, stay close to the capital S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. Because his warm rays is what melts the frost. Stay close to your Bible. Here's what happens. People get offended when it's frost time. People get offended and they sit down in a chair in the morning, pout, and get their cup of coffee or something. The Bible's dying. I ain't reading that today. That's the wrong move, folks. You know what you better do? If it's frost season in your life, read an extra chapter. This is where the warmth is. Stay close to your Bible. Stay close to your time of prayer. Can I give you a little bit of a suggestion? If it's a time of frost in your life, you know what's easy for us to do when the frost is in our life? You know what's easy for us to do? We go to prayer. It's to concentrate on ourselves. I need this and I need that and I feel this way and this is not working and God, if you could, I need, you know what? In a season of frost, I think it's helpful to turn your attention away from yourself to the great S-U-N in heaven, the Son of heaven, the Son of righteousness. Tell God how wonderful he is. Tell God how magnificent he is. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his grace. Praise him for his faithfulness. Praise him. Dwell on him in your prayer time. Think on him. Think about how wonderful he is. You say, why would I do that? Because that's the kind of thing that'll warm your heart and melt the frost. We go to prayer, folks. All we think about is ourselves. The frost just thickens. Think on God. Don't miss your church. To hang around your saved family. Don't recluse yourself from your saved friends. What I preached about on Sunday night, get spiritual music playing in your home, in your vehicle. If you can listen to it at work, while you're at work, if they let you listen to music at work, pump your heart full of warm spiritual music. It's about Jesus. Stay close to all of those because the S-U-N, the capital S-U-N, will rise through one or more of those with warmth, and the frost will melt. I can't promise you that you hit a season of, you kind of wake, you know, kind of realize, man, you know what? I'm in a season of frost. And I can't promise you that it will melt in 24 hours or 7 days. Can't promise you that. But I can promise you this, eventually, you stay close to your Bible, you stay close to your prayer time, you stay close to the Lord, eventually the S-U-N will rise in your heart and the warmth of his love, the warmth of his grace will melt all that frost away. Job, it's a little frosty, isn't it? A little? You lose your camels? Your sheep, your donkeys, your oxen, your children, your health. That's pretty frosty. But by the breath of God, the frost is given. He's closer than you realize, closer than you think. So don't strive against him. No. Just stay close. Stay close to the sources of warmth. And the S-U-N, the great S-U-N, Jesus, will melt the frost away. The warm winds will blow again. The warm winds will blow again. Let's pray. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, I pray that the lesson tonight could be a help to the hearts of people here. Don't always know what difficulties people might be going through. And Lord, sometimes it's health related. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's work related. Sometimes, Lord, it's even in our spiritual walk with you where we're not getting much out of the Bible. Prayer time seems a little dead. Church services don't really do much for our heart. Maybe it's frosty. You said that by your breath, the frost is given. Which means you've got to be pretty close to us. God, help us not to strive against you. You don't have to answer for what you do. You don't have to answer for the change of season in our lives. We have no right to put you on the hot seat, on the witness stand, pepper you with accusations or questions accusations like you don't love us, you don't care, you forgot that. But Lord, all those things are so silly. Help us not to strive. Help us not to run from it. Help us to stay close to the sources that the great S-U-N, Jesus Christ, can use to melt the frost in our lives. So reach out tonight, oh God. Help some person here in this room tonight with the truth of your word. And I'll thank you for it. And God, we want to say before I close, we love you. We can't always understand, explain what's going on in the particular season of life that we're in. But we trust you because you're good and you're right. You never make a mistake. Help us, oh God, please, to respond rightly. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our pianists are going to begin to play. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, you obey the Lord. Be tender to him. The season of frost. Don't strive against him. Realize how close God has to be for his breath to touch your life. Stay close to the sources that the S-U-N can use to melt that frost. Some of you in the congregation tonight, you can testify, as you've been there, you remember the season of frost. You remember it clearly. It's like everywhere you turned in your life, all you found was frost. But you stayed with it. You didn't fight God. You stayed close to the sources that he uses to melt it. And now you're in a season with the warm winds blowing. And that's how it works.